Yesterday evening at Mass, we blessed our Advent wreath and lit the first candle, marking the arrival of this new season. Advent is a short season, especially this year, since the fourth Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. And we often sum up Advent simply as the time of preparation for Christmas. I remember as a kid when we would go to Mass during Advent thinking it took forever to light all those candles on that wreath. Now as I get older, I think Advent's picking up speed. They just seem to be all lit almost immediately. But if we just sum up Advent as the weeks of preparation for Christmas, we leave something out of the story. After all, God's holy word that we have just heard this morning speaks nothing about Christmas, about Christ's historical coming in time. Rather, the scriptures for this first Sunday of Advent continue the theme from the last few Sundays of this apocalyptic genre of the Lord coming back again, his coming in glory at the end of time, and his coming at the end of each of our lives. And this first part of the season of Advent is meant to remind us that we can often get distracted by the events of life, by the cares and concerns, especially those of this time, this hectic time of the year. And God can get squeezed out. He can get marginalized in our lives. The first reading today was from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah captures for us very beautifully the longing of every human heart for God. God created our hearts, and he left a little piece of our hearts that only he can fill. And we as human beings can fill that, try to fill them with lots of different things. Sometimes good things, sometimes things that become harmful to us or that we can become addicted to. And no matter how much we get of those things, they never quite fill that place in our hearts because it's designed by God and for God alone. The prophet Isaiah expresses that today. You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. And he gives us the image. He says, we are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Just as that lump of clay can't become something unless the potter works with it, so we too have to be worked on by God, to be built up, to let him fill that piece of our hearts that he alone can fill. And Advent reminds us every year that God has indeed given to us what will fill that part of our hearts. And really, more accurately, it's not a what, but it's a who. It's Jesus. God come to us, to encounter us. God made man a real person with whom we can have a relationship. And it's that relationship with Jesus that fills that part of our hearts. So in this season, we remember that God has come to encounter us already. He has become man to find us, to seek us. And we have to ask ourselves the question, have I gone out to meet Jesus? Have I met Jesus and allowed him to enter my life? Have I allowed the Lord Jesus to fill up that part of my heart that he alone can fill? Have I heard the story of Jesus? Not just kind of casually listened to it, but really heard the great story that God became man, that he lived and died for us and rose from the dead and invites us to be his sons and daughters in this life and then to live with him forever in the next. That is the great story of Jesus. Have I encountered that story? Have I allowed it into my heart and then in turn let it affect every part of my life, every circumstance of my life, and given my life totally over to Him? And then once I've done that, have I become a herald of that message to the world and the person who's at the center of it, Jesus? When we're living in this way, when we're living in relationship with Jesus as His disciples, I think it's then that today's gospel reading makes much more sense. When we're living in relationship with Jesus, that means we're always watching for Him. We're always watching for the one for whom our heart longs. In no matter what way He comes to us, in the sacraments, in the daily interactions of everyday life, in the scriptures, even at the end of our lives. If I'm living in relationship with Him now, I have one eye looking for His coming at all times. We're not being sleepy. We're being alert and watchful, just as if we were expecting the arrival of anyone that we loved. The power of that great story of Jesus is that the kingdom is lived out now in the daily events and rhythms of our life. As I was contemplating and praying over today's scripture readings for this homily, a classic Christmas movie came to my mind. A real classic. Maybe you're thinking of It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on the 34th Street. The classic that came to my mind was Home Alone. It's a classic because I was 10 years old when it came out. If you're not familiar with the story, it's pretty simple. Kevin McAllister is the main character. And through various twists of fate, he's left home alone while his family goes on Christmas vacation to Paris. Now, initially, he's very happy to be home alone. His parents, he's very angry at his parents. He's the youngest child, so he feels like all of his siblings are always dumping on him. And he actually wished that his family would disappear. So he wakes up one morning and they're gone. And he starts doing what every 10-year-old would do in that situation. Watch TV and eat junk food. He's very, very excited. Of course, these are prehistoric times in 1990, so it's before cell phones. So no one can get in contact with him because all of the landlines are down. Imagine that, landlines. But eventually Kevin realizes that his family means so much more to him than he ever knew. And he begins to miss his parents, even his siblings. And he finds out that there are two criminals who are eyeing up his house. He lives in a very beautiful home. I'd like to know what Kevin's father did for a living. Gorgeous home. And they want to break in. The robbers want to break in. And Kevin finds out. And he realizes that because he loves his family, he needs to protect his home. He needs to be watchful, waiting to prevent this from happening because it's something that he loves very much. So you might be asking yourselves, what in heaven's name does this have to do with the first Sunday of Advent? Well, our discipleship is somewhat like this. We first have to be convinced that our relationship with Jesus and living as his disciple is necessary. Something that we love, something that we desire, something that we want to work on and protect. Just like Kevin found out about his family and his home. And then we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan to live out our discipleship so that we're not caught off guard. So that we're constantly watching for Jesus. Just like Kevin had that plan to protect his house, to protect it from the robbers who would come. So when we have a plan for our discipleship, it protects our relationship with Jesus against all the challenges that come into our lives, the daily little ones and the big ones. And then it helps us to be watchful and waiting because we'll always keep our eyes on the Lord. So we want to ask ourselves, what does my plan for discipleship look like? What is my plan? Kevin had one, we need one. We don't want to be caught off guard as disciples. Well, if we're going to have a plan for discipleship, the first thing we have to be assured is that we ourselves are disciples. That we have allowed Jesus into our lives, into our hearts. That we have encountered him and asked him, given him permission to enter that place that he alone can fill in our hearts. Perhaps you've never heard of that before. It's not something Catholics talk about a lot, but it's so necessary. And if you've never given Jesus permission to do that, I would encourage you after Holy Communion today, in your private prayer, to allow him, to give him permission. To utter just a very simple prayer. Jesus, I love you. Come into my heart. Fill up that place that's lacking within me. If you have done that before, I think you know that it's something that you recommit yourself to all the time. It's not a one and done. But rather, it's something that we have to do every single day. To allow Jesus into our hearts. To give him that permission. And so once we've done that, then we need to live out our plan for discipleship. And I'd like to suggest that our plans for discipleship should have six pieces. And I'm just going to go over these very briefly. Each and every one of them could be their own homily. I'm not going to do that to you today. I'm not Father Jim Prophet. I'm not going to do that to you today. The six pieces. First is scripture reading. God meets us in his word to speak to us, to instruct us, to console us, to challenge us, to transform us. If we're not reading God's holy word, we're not going to meet him. The second is daily prayer. Prayer takes on many forms. We're praying right now. The Mass is a formal prayer. We have memorized prayers like the Our Father and the Hail Mary. But here I'm talking about conversation with God, speaking to him, and then allowing him to answer us. I'd like to suggest to you adoration of the Blessed Sacrament for this. We have it every Friday here in the chapel of our church. To come in and to spend time in prayer with the Lord, to speak to him, and then to allow him to answer. The next is living the sacraments. The sacraments are encounters with us and God's grace. And as disciples, we need them regularly. So if you're not attending Mass on a regular basis, I would encourage you to make a resolution to do that for the sake of your discipleship. Perhaps it might be the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, making a resolution to experience the grace of that sacrament this Advent. Living the sacraments are necessary as disciples. Fourthly is fellowship. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Our faith must be practiced in community. That's how Jesus did it with his disciples. And as Catholics, we have our parish. Now, the parish can seem very large, even St. Mark, which is medium-sized compared to our neighbors. It can still seem really big. So we need to make our parish smaller by being part of some sort of faith-sharing group. Mark's Men, Walking with Purpose, a Bible study, something like that. A place where we can be known by everyone else in our group and supported. A place where we experience Christian fellowship. Then there's service. As disciples, we follow Jesus who offered himself on the cross for us, so we have to offer our lives for our brothers and sisters, especially those who are poor. And lastly, they're sharing Christ with others. When we've encountered Jesus, the one for whom our hearts are made, we discover who we are, our purpose, our destiny, and that's an experience that Jesus wants for all people. And when our hearts have been transformed by him, we can't help but share what he has done for us. Not in a theological way, not in a theological treatise, but simply by sharing who Jesus is and what he means to my life. Scripture reading, daily prayer, living the sacraments, fellowship, service, sharing Christ with others. That's our plan for discipleship. Jesus says in the gospel today, "What I say to you, I say to all, watch." He says that because he's the fulfillment of our every desire. He's the fulfillment of that part of our hearts that only God can satisfy. And he desires us to be on watch for him. So this Advent, let's remember that we are truly never left home alone, because God is always with us. And he desires to encounter us. But we need a plan of discipleship, so that we can live out that encounter every single day.